Hello and welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast. My name is Gillian Lum and I'm a director in CDH's employment law practice based in Cape Town. Today I'm in conversation with Leila Musa, a senior associate in our employment law practice, who's also based in our Cape Town office. Leila and I will be talking about resignations and debunking some of the misconceptions surrounding resignations. First, we're going to address accepting a resignation and whether an employer must accept an employee's resignation in order for the resignation to come into effect and terminate the employment relationship. We're often approached by employers for advice following a resignation who are of the understanding that until the resignation is accepted by the employer, the resignation doesn't come into effect. Second, we're going to consider notice periods and an employee's obligations in relation to notice and an employer's options if an employee resigns without giving notice to the employer. Third, we'll consider the rights of an employer if an employee does not resign on notice and whether an employer is entitled in law to make deductions from or withhold monies owing to the employee. And finally, we'll touch on the issue of constructive dismissals. Many people know the term constructive dismissal, but what does it mean in law? And we'll discuss what that means. So Leila, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks very much, Gillian. Happy to be here.
Over the years, our courts have considered the various elements of a resignation. And if we can start then with the meaning of resignation and the impact it has on an employment relationship.
Thanks very much, Gillian. And hi to our listeners. Thanks very much for joining us today. So our courts have described resignation as a unilateral and voluntary termination of the employment relationship that's at the instance of the employee. So put differently, the employee notifies the employer that the employment contract will come to an end. Now, there's a commonly held misconception that resignation needs to be accepted, which you've alluded to. And this is by the employer for it to actually have effect. Now, this is not actually required in our law. An employer does not need to accept the employee's resignation in order for that to come into effect and for the employment relationship to end. All that is required in order to terminate the employment relationship is simply that the employee provides their unequivocal notice of their resignation.
So Leila, bearing in mind that it's an act on the part of the employee, what's the impact then if an employee, for example, resigns today and in 2 days' time decides that they want to withdraw their resignation? Is the employee then entitled to withdraw their resignation?
Yes, this is something that we see quite often. An employee can withdraw their resignation, but since it's a unilateral act which comes into effect even if the employer does not accept the resignation, their withdrawal of the resignation will only be effective if the employer actually agrees that withdrawal.
So you've spoken about notifying the employer of the resignation. What are the requirements then in our law relating to notice periods when an employee resigns?
Yeah, so an employee must resign on notice. They must give their employer notice of the termination of their employment. Now, in terms of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, which sets out our minimum floor of employment rights and obligations, employees must give their employer first 1 week's notice if they've been employed for 6 months or less, 2 weeks if they're employed for 6 months but not more than a year, and then 4 weeks notice if the employee has been employed for 1 year or more. Now, these minimum notice periods that are provided in terms of the CA, they can be extended if contractually agreed, provided that both the employer and the employee are required to give that same period of notice.
And so if the employee honors the notice periods and resigns on notice, what are the employer's obligations then?
It's important to remember that there are two reciprocal obligations at play when an employee resigns on notice. The first is that during the notice period, the employee has a duty to tender their services, so show up to work, and the employer has a right to require that the employee actually provides those services. The second one is that where the employee has tendered their services, so said that they're available to work, they have the right to be paid.
So if the employee then resigns on notice and tenders their services, is the employer then obliged to accept their services?
Right. So if the employee resigns on notice and then tenders their services, they are entitled to be paid. But it is up to the employer whether they want the employee to actually work that notice period. Right. So do they actually require those services or whether they pay the employee in lieu of notice and the employee is then not required to actually work during that period? Now, sometimes that payment in lieu of notice, which is expressly permitted in terms of the BCA, is preferable. And an example here would be if, for example, an employee has resigned to take up employment with a competitor.
So, Leila, you've explained then the position if an employee resigns on notice, but what about if an employee resigns with immediate effect? Does the employer have any rights if, or what can an employer do if an employee resigns with immediate effect?
So there are two different aspects to resignation here. An employee in the first place can't be stopped by the employer from resigning. So they can notify their employer of the resignation. And once they do that, the unilateral act of resignation takes effect. However, this is distinct from that notice period. So as we've spoken about earlier, the employee has the obligation to resign on notice. And if the employee fails to resign on notice, the employer can't stop them from resigning. But what they can do is enforce the notice period. That means they can hold the employee to and require that the employee extends that notice period to the employer. So let's take an example. If the employee notifies the employer of their resignation but doesn't do so on notice, and if the employer actually requires that they work that notice period, the employer can then notify the employee in response that they're in breach of their contractual obligations to actually tender their services for the notice period, and then advise the employee that they're required to work that notice period. Now, this is something that an employer may want to do if the employee seeks to resign after being issued with notice of a disciplinary hearing. So the employer may then notify the employee that they're required to work the notice period and then take that disciplinary action during the notice period. And if an employer contemplates the inquiry before the end of the notice period, the termination for misconduct would then come into effect before the resignation is actually given effect to.
I often have inquiries from employers where they are extremely frustrated when employees resign with immediate effect, so without giving the notice period, and they want to understand what their rights are, in particular whether they can claim damages from the employee, whether they can set those off against payments that may be due to the employee on termination of employment, and frequently rely upon the payment that would have been made to the employee during the notice period as the damages which they say they've suffered. Can you just give us some insight, Leila, into the position of an employer and what their rights are if an employee doesn't resign on notice and what relief they may have?
So as a starting point, Julian, the Basic Conditions of Employment Act places several restrictions on deductions from an employee's resignation. So in terms of this act, a deduction may be permitted from an employee's remuneration if it is in respect of a debt that is specified in a written agreement. Now, the damages which an employer suffers as a result of an employee failing to resign on notice and failing to tender the services for that notice period is not necessarily the equivalent of what they would have been paid during that notice period. So an employer can pursue a contractual claim for damages, but that employer would have to prove that it suffered damages, and it would have to prove the quantum of those damages in the ordinary course.
So if we then go back to the start of our discussion when you were talking about the meaning of resignation and how our courts interpret what it means to resign, you referred to it being voluntary. But what about constructive dismissal? Can you please explain just a little bit about the meaning of constructive dismissal and what's required if you're going to pursue a claim for constructive dismissal as an employee?
So in terms of our Labor Relations Act, it has, as part of the definition for dismissal, it includes where an employee terminates employment with or without notice because the employer made their continued employment intolerable for that employee. So essentially, a constructive dismissal entails a resignation by the employee, but in circumstances in which the conduct of the employer led to that resignation. Now, our courts, in the case of Solid Doors, has set out the test for determining whether there is a constructive dismissal, and that test is an objective one. So it includes three requirements, essentially, which is first, the employee must have been the one who terminated the employment contract. So that's in terms of resignation. Then secondly, the reason for that termination must be that the continued employment relationship has become intolerable for that employee. And then thirdly, it must have been the employee's employer who was responsible for making that continued employment intolerable. So if an employee meets these requirements and the employer is unable to prove that the constructive dismissal was fair, the employee will be protected in terms of the Labor Relations Act. And despite the employee having resigned, this will then constitute an unfair dismissal.
The CCM and our courts have set a very high standard for a constructive dismissal.
Yes, that's right. So given the high threshold, employees would need to be cautious when they actually allege constructive dismissal. So unlike most unfair dismissal disputes, the onus is on the employee in a constructive dismissal dispute to start and to show that the employer made their continued employment intolerable. And this can be quite challenging to prove.
Thanks very much for your insights today, Leila. It's clear that a resignation and its effect is not as simple as many may think. We hope that you found today's session useful. Please join us again in our series of CDH Conversations podcasts when we address another topical issue in the world of work.
Thanks, Julian. Thank you to our listeners.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.